Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Tet. And we're holding on the bottom, or towards the bottom of Yud Chet Amud Beit, at the Tana Rabbana. Bad. We've been talking about the dinim of the various Big Day Kuhuna, Big Day Kuhuna Hedyet, and Big Day Kuhuna of the Kohen Gadol. And now we want to get to the source. How do we know the various dinim of how it is that the Big Day Kuhuna are meant to be made and what allows them to be kosher? We said they had to fit. And if they don't fit, so then we had all question yesterday about whether the actual belt, the avnet, would be megas gaya. So let's get to the basics, which we always do at the end of a sugya, to come back and to see where it all comes from. So Tana Rabbana, the basic pasuk is, v'lavash kohen mido bad, u'michnasei bad yobash al bisaro. It's not quite clear what this mido, because mido, of course, it's used as uniform. It's used as a bespoken garment because mido is the word for measurement. So it means a measured and cut to measure garment. And then it says, and he should be wearing also, besides mido bad, which we're talking about, the ketonet, michnesei bad. So we're repeating this word of bad. What exactly is this bad? So first of all, it means that it has to be made of linen. We're going to find out why it is that we're so sure that bad means linen. Bad also implies that they should be brand new, so that they have to be as if they just came straight out of the box, out of the bad, out of the pod, actually, as it turns out it's a reference to. And bad also means that they have to be threads. They can't just be pulled. They have to be twisted and spun. So only then would they be kosher. Again, we're going to see where we learn all this out from. Bad, well, this is a nice remez. Bad, I mean, if you add up bays and dalet, it equals six, but it's not much of a limud. So bad means that they have to be six times twisted. So after the original turning them into a thread, shazur, which is the first meaning of bad, we have to take six of those threads and to twist them together. Now we're going to see, of course, that there were, how all this was done, and all of the halakhas later on. Bad also means the word alone, levad, shelo yubash elcho imayem. It's the only clothes that he should be wearing, and he can't wear other clothes together with the Big Day Kuhuna. Okay, so now let's understand that drush. Amar leh Abaye l'Rav Yosef, look, I mean, I understand that you can learn that it's made out of linen, because Kamashmalan, that part makes sense, and the Bryce is coming to tell us that bad means boots, and therefore the only thing that you can use is bad boots in midi achrini lo. But where do you get the idea that bad means it should be brand new? I mean, is that even true? Because didn't we just learn yesterday that you're telling me chadashim ein shechakim lo, if they were worn out begadim, so then they wouldn't be kosher. But is that really true, that they wouldn't be kosher? We just learned yesterday that even if they're worn, they're kosher. Maybe they're not the right way to make it b'chatila, but if it would be learned out of the pasuk, and the Torah would be telling me bad, bad, and then it would be ma'akev, all the meanings of bad, and that would mean that if they were worn, they wouldn't be kosher. Omar Lay said, Rabbi Yosef Tim, I think that you are a little bit over-literal here, Abaye. Because, I mean, you really think that we're learning all of this out of bad? V'lataymech. So according to what you are learning, and you think that it means that we're learning it out of the word, you really think bad means that you need to have kofor shisha? I mean, if anything, doesn't the word bad mean alone? Which would imply that it's not meant to be twisted more than one. So how could you possibly think that we're really using the pasuk? Bad is, if anything, it's mashma chad chad, one at a time, and not twist it together. So therefore, you've got to understand this braita as not referring to a limut from the word bad, but rather, it starts off saying like this, hachikama, these begadim, only these begadim that it says bad on, we know that they need to be made out of boots, we know that we need to do l'chatchila, they should be new, they should be shizuri, and they have to be twisted, and they have to be six times afterwards twisted. Now, that's not from the word. We're telling you what the dinim of any place that the Torah says bad is. We know the halacha from elsewhere. Yesh me'am le'mitzvah. Some of these are only a mitzvah, meaning lechatchila, and if you don't do it, they're not going to be pasul, such as what you mentioned, the fact that it needs to be new. And some of them are actually in La'akev. So that if some of these things are missing, that's just la mitzvah. But other things, those are actually a chiyuv gomer. So it doesn't have to be new, that's true. But it certainly does have to be made out of boots, as we're going to see. And it needs to be the type of boots that the Torah describes, because elsewhere the Torah calls the linen sheish, which is what it means. But sheish, actually, sheish mashzar. Mashzar means that it has to be twisted, a lot of them together. And we're calling it sheish. That's interesting, because six happens to be the numerical value of bad. And what we're learning here is the six times twisted, all of those things, those define the meaning of the sheish mashzar of the bad of the kelim, meaning the big day kahuna. Other things are a hidur. They're not a real chiyuv, but they're certainly the correct way that it should be new and fresh, and they should be mechubad in every way possible. Now, you tell me that bad means linen, but how do I know that bad means linen? Maybe sheish is one thing, and those begadim that it says sheish on have to be linen, and bad means something else. Omar Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina, the word bad refers to the way that linen grows naturally, and that is davar ha'ole min ha'karka bad bevad. What happens is that you grow actually one from each seed. You're going to grow one of these pods, which then turns into, after you process it, obviously, it needs to be broken down, and you need to let it sit in water until bacteria breaks it down. Boy, does that smell. And then you need to take a hammer, and you need to break it up, because there's a lot of pieces that are left from the actual covering of these the pod, and that's what it's referring to. Well, I mean, other things are like that. Doesn't wool grow? Each hair of wool grows from a separate follicle. So you could say it's a reference to wool, because that's also bad, isn't it? No. Actually, Amra, it's true that it does grow, but then the top of the hair starts to split into many small feathery pieces, which of course is the whole point of wool, and that is that it's a wonderful insulator because it traps a lot of air. And therefore, it cannot be called bad if the main point of the wool is that it actually splits into the spidery type of fiber afterwards. Well, wait a minute. I mean, nobody uses linen that hasn't been split. I mean, it's also split. Otherwise, it wouldn't work very well, would it? Says the Gemara, yes, it splits, but it only splits through processing. That's a manufacturing process. It grows a single stalk with a pod. And now you've got to go, you've got to actually break down the pod, you've got to take a hammer and smack it until you get those separate broken fibers. And therefore, it makes far more sense that the bad is the reference to the one that actually stays together, and it is one by one. That's why we know that it's considered to be bad only if it's linen, not if it's wool. Ravina says, actually, it's pretty clear that what it is that the Kohanim were wearing needed to be worn out of linen. Because bad, also, the real word for bad is pishtim. Pishtim is the processed linen. And it says, Beferish in Yecheskel, where it talks about the third base of Mikdash and the Kohanim that are working in the third base of Mikdash. It says over there, Pa'are pishtim yiyu arosham, umichnesei pishtim yiyu amotnehem, lo yachkiru biyazam. So they should be wearing linen pants. Well, that's the exact pants that the Torah described as being michnesei bad. And here in Yechezkel, it's michnesei pishtim. So obviously, bad is pishtim. Amalei Rav Ashi Ravina, what kind of crazy limud is that? And until Yechezkel was born, you're telling me that then bad wasn't pishtim. I mean, it's got to mean pishtim from somewhere besides Yechezkel, doesn't it? Velataymech, says the Gemara. What kind of question is that? We know whenever this question is raised, we always bring this mimer of Rav Chisda, who actually speaks it out very clearly, so nobody should make a mistake. And what he says is, Davar zeh mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu. I'm going to tell you something now, and that is that an oral is possible for the Aveda, whether he's a physical oral or whether he's a mental oral. There's a lot of mental orals out there, I'm sure, as you've noticed. You know, it's not polite to actually put them on a screen, because then you could see what they really are. But I think those people that check you before getting on a plane, they have to figure out whether you're mental or also, you never know. Anyway, so the following halacha that a physical or mental aral is posel for the avodah. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah, surprisingly. However, we do learn it out from Yechezkel. Midivrei Yechezkel ben Buzi lamaduk. What does it say there? He says beferish, kol ben nechar, whether he is an aral lev or an aral basar, lo yavo el migdashi. So that means you can have a heart that is, so to speak, uncircumcised because it's sitting there in a condom that doesn't allow any feelings to get through. And that's the equivalent of an aral basar. And Yechezkel was the basis of that, that both of that types of aral are posel. So I ask you the same question you just asked me. Is it Ravina? Atcha by Yechezkel Miolan. So how did we know that? Before Yechezkel put it into words, obviously, we're not learning something. Rav Chisda is teaching us a halacha from Yechezkel. We know perfectly well that we cannot derive any new halachas from a Navi. So certainly not going to learn out from Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah. That's absurd. Ella, what's the point? Of course, it must have been. We always knew this. Gemara Gemirila. Always it was well known that an Aral Lev and Aral Basar is possible. But it was always a Kabbalah halacha l'meshi Misinai. Oftentimes, a Navi comes to record something that was known as a Lachal Mashem Sinai, puts it into words, and that way it becomes something that people remember. So Yechezkel came along and put a pasuk there to be semich on it, that your memory will be jogged by it. Also Yechezkel ve'asvachei. So we always knew that bad means linen. And it's in Yechezkel that he spells it out. Michnesei bad, or actually, michnesei pishtim. Now, getting to the end of the pasuk, I mean, once we mentioned it already, can't let it go. What does it mean when it says, lo yachguru b'yaza? They should not put on the chagura, meaning the avnet, should not be put on in yaza. What's a yaza? Omar Abaye, what it means is, lo yachguru b'makom shemezi'im. So, yaza is a place that is sweating. So, you're not supposed to put the avnet in any kind of place where it could get sweaty. Now, how could it get sweaty? It would be in a place where, let's say, if a Kohen has a belly and he's going to have his belly hanging over that belt, that's going to make it pretty sweaty. Or if he puts the belt so high on his, above his stomach, it's going to be going through the area where his arms come down across his ribs. And that's a very sweaty area. So that would mean that maybe in the course of the day, the sweat would come through. They're working very hard. So that has to be in a place where that can't happen, which means, Kidatanya, Kishahin Chogrin, Ein Chogrin Lo Lamata Mimot Nehim, they're not allowed to put that avnet, a kohen, beneath the area of the hips. We don't want any type of fat that would be coming down and making that hot. And you can't wear it on top of your elbow where the skin of your arm actually could come down and touch your ribs. And that area gets hot and sweaty. Ella, you have to put it right around the area where the elbow begins. Keneged atzilei yedehem. We couldn't get to the end of this before we start the next time. Omer Rav Ashi. Oh, no, we started. Sorry. We started it off from here. Omer Rav Ashi. Huna Bar Nosson once told me an amazing story. Now, Huna Bar Nosson was a friend of Rav Ashi, but he was also a friend of the king of Poras. And that's because he was in a very important position. He was the Resh Galusa at the time of that king. And so he had a lot to do politically, and he would argue the position of the Jews, the Persians, and so on. So he once told his friend Rav Ashi that Zimna Chodavaka Imna Kamedi is the Gar is Gidar Malka. I was once having this discussion with the Melech is Gidar and Avimaduli Aminai. And I was wearing my belt. Obviously, this was just his regular belt, you know. He wasn't a Kohen, and he certainly wasn't wearing his big kahuna. And my belt was very high, and it was above my elbow. So the Melech comes, and he pulls it down, and he says to me, what's the matter with you guys? Remember that the Persian Melachim were often very, like Shformalka, were very, very well versed in dinim. Used to have conversations with the various Chachomim. So he says, You may think you're not a Kohen, but the Torah calls you a Kohen. You're a Mamlechus Kohanim. What are you doing walking around with your belt that high? And you're not allowed to actually be wearing the belt that high. Because what do you mean? The Gemara in Zvachim. Everybody knows the Gemara in Zvachim. Of course, the Gemara in Zvachim had already said that he was going to pull down the belt. So Kiasoi Kamei de Amemar, when I came to Amemar and I told him over this story, this he says to his friend Ravashi, Amemar said to me that this was a kiyum of the beautiful pasuk that we just had in Yeshayahu, V'hayu melachim onayich. What does it say there? That the kings of the world, they will be the one who are your nannies, so to speak. They take care of you and they train you. So see, you were a person who, you know, you thought you're having political discussions. These kings are basically all there in order to be the nannies of the Mamlechus Kohanim. And this pasuk was mekuyim literally in your case. Tzan Hasa. So we know that we have the mitzvah we had yesterday, that the Kohen has to be directly in touch with his Aveda, and he has to be directly in touch with his Begadim, we spoke about yesterday, and the question of what the halacha would be if there was something that was between his Beged and his skin. Now we have an interesting question. A Kohen gets a cut in his finger. What's he allowed to do? It's Shabbos, so can't get stitches. So what are we going to do for him? So Kohen Shalaka Be'etzba'o, we're talking about on Shabbos over here, that sugya in Erevin, Korech Alei Agemi, B'migdash Avalo B'medina. He is allowed to put reed over it. Now it turns out that reed is actually an antiseptic, and that's part of the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Normally, you're not allowed to use an antiseptic on Shabbos because of the fact that that's considered to be a refuah. And Chazal were gozer on refuahs because of the question of perhaps someone will grind up the refuah, which used to be obviously the way that refuahs were made. You went into the pharmacy and he ground up whatever the doctor had written up, and that was your refuah. So it was directly called grinding, actually. Because of that, they answered it. This sounds like it was ages ago, but I have to tell you that when I was in Eretz Yisrael some 65 years ago, I was totally floored. This innocent American arriving with a doctor's prescription, the guy goes into the back and starts grinding up the pieces, and he puts it into this gigantic pill, which is like about 20 times the size of a typical pill, and I'm supposed to swallow that, and that's the way that they made it. Anyway, so this was literally, until recent times, this was what it meant to be taking a refuah. It was to grind it up. So in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a special Gavi rule. And I think he forgot his magic wand today, but Bezrat Hashem, when he gets home, he'll write it up. You can always tell on his face when he's without the wand. But the halacha over there is Ein Shvut BaMikdash, which is an amazing klal. The Chachomim were not gozer, shvusim, Yisuri Derabbanan, in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is a place where whatever needs to be done has to be done, and it's a mokum of zrizim. And people that are zoris are not needy of these types of very careful shmiras that they don't get close to an iser. It's a davar pashut that they won't do an iser. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no problem of using an antiseptic, and therefore, he's allowed to take these reeds and wrap it around the cut. But only in the Mikdash. Havalo b'medina, not outside of the Mikdash. And let me tell you something, even in the Beis HaMikdash itself, if what he was trying to do was to be lahotzi mimenu dam, he was trying to actually squeeze some blood out of the cut, then it would be usher even in the Beis HaMikdash, because that would be chavalah, and chavalah is nisa d'oraita. Now, came along Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chiya, and he said, you need to understand the implications of the Mishnah. Loshano elagemi. Why did the Mishnah say that the Kohen can use gemi, but mashma he cannot put on a little tziltzul? A little tziltzul would be like a ribbon, and tie a ribbon around his finger where the cut is. That he cannot do, because if he would do that, the tziltzul would have a din of yitur begadim. It would be another thing that he's wearing. And remember yesterday we learned that he has to be wearing specifically, we looked this out of the pasuk, he has to be wearing dafka his arba begodim. He cannot have anything extra, including even extra big de kohuna, not only of his own, but wearing the Kohen Gadol's with Passover. We learned that from the pasuk. So you can't put on something that would be called a beged, but a piece of reed is not called a beged, so it's not a problem. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, there's no halacha like that of extra begudim, unless those extra begudim are on a part of the body where you would normally be wearing the bigdei kahuna. But if you're not wearing it where the bigdei kahuna are, you put it on your finger, then that's not called a yitur begudim. Wait a minute. But then it's even a bigger problem, isn't it? You're telling me it's on his finger. But if it's on his finger, then it's a chatzitza between the hand of the Kohen and the avoda that he's doing. And we learn out from the Pasuk V'lakach HaKohen that it has to be his very body, his skin, that has to be up against the thing that he's working on. So if you've got something in between, it should be a chatzitza, even if it's not a yitur begadim. And then he wouldn't actually be doing the avoda, because the idea of a piece of gemi that you put it around is just bottle to the actual cut that he has. He's got a wound on his finger. So that, yes, because it's bottle to the actual wound. It's not a piece of clothing. Mashenkin, if you'd be wearing a beged of some kind, then that beged is considered to be a chatzitza. Was Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, he holds that apparently if you have something, even if it's not bottled to a wound, it would not be considered to be a yitur begadim unless it's on a place where begadim are normally worn. So there, in this case, it's not a problem. So the question is, why is it not a chatzitza the way that we're learning? So the issue over here, if it would be shelo b'makom begadim, what we're saying, it's not considered to be yitur begadim, and it's not considered to be a chatzitza. But why? If Rabbi Yochanan now is saying that you could even use a tzilzul katan, so you could just put on anything that you want, even a pretty ribbon. Ah, that's true. That would be a problem, but only if it was on his left hand. So if the cut was on his left hand, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the left hand, remember, you don't use, because for the avoda, because we learn out, komokom shenemar etzbar kohen, it means yamin. We're going to be getting to that. So it could be with his left hand, or maybe we're talking about putting on a little bandage on the back of his hand. Shelo b'mokom avoda. So even if it's on the right hand, the back of his hand is never coming into contact with anything that he's doing. But you should know that this halacha that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that there does not seem to be, according to him, a problem. If there's no literal chatzitza, and it's on the back of your hand, or it's on the left hand, it doesn't matter, even if it's a ribbon, that is not considered to be extra begudim. Well, obviously, Rava doesn't agree with that, because this is pligid Rava. The Omar Rava Omar Achista, if you've got something that you're wearing on an area that begudim are on, then if you have something up against your body and it's between your body and the beged, oh my gosh, that's a disaster. Even if you've got a thread. Now, a thread obviously is not considered to be a beged. There's a minimal shear to a beged, but it's a chatzitza, and therefore between the kohen actual skin and what it is that he's wearing, it's not al bisaro. And the Torah says, beferish, yilbishu al bisaram. It has to be directly on the body of the kohen. So there, it would definitely be a chatzitza, even if it was a tiny thread. If it's in a place that you don't wear any clothes, like shelo b'makom begadim, such as on your fingers, that he was talking about, Rabbi Yochanan, Rava says, shalosh al shalosh chotzitzos. If you have a shear of 3 by 3 etzbaot, which is the minimal shear that we consider this to be a beged, this is a cloth, so then it would be, now this is a very unfortunate slippage here in the Gemara. And as Rashi explained, once we started talking about the sugya in terms of chatzitza, we just kept using the word chatzitza even where what we really meant was yitur beged, which is very confusing. Before, we were careful to distinguish between the two issues. We said, if it's in a place where it's going to come between his finger and the work that he's doing, that's a chatzitza of the pasuk of v'lakach ha-kohen. And if it's a piece that comes between the beged that he's wearing and the skin under the beged, then it's a violation of the pasuk of al bisoro, yubash al bisoro. Then there's another question. Suppose it's not in a mokum of chatzitza at all, so it's on the back of your hand. So over there, Rabbi Yochanan said, well, that's not a problem, because there's no concept of yitur begadim. There's certainly no concept of chatzitza, but there's no concept of yitur begadim if it's not a place where you normally would be wearing the bigdei kahuna. However, what we just saw over here is that if you have sholash al sholash, according to Rava, it would be considered to be a yitur begadim, even if it's shalom b'makom begadim. And here, instead of making it clear that when we said the psul, we mentioned clearly that it was because of yitur begadim, since we had been talking about chatzitza before, we just sort of wrapped everything together, and we used the same word. So don't let it confuse you. Obviously, if we're saying a shear of sholash al sholash, which by definition is the shear of what's considered to be a beged, and this is true, l'gavi kabbalas tuma, and so on, so the moment that those words, they shout out to you, beged, 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 not chatzitza. So we're just using the word chatzitza here, chotzitzot, as the meaning of it's a psul. And that means it's going to be psul, obviously, because of the fact that it's a yitur begadim. And less than that, it's not considered to be a beged at all, because if it's less than 3x3 etzpaot, it's not a yitur begadim, and it's not chotzitz, because it's not in a place where there's anything to be chotzitz on. It's not talking about a part of your hand where you're going to be holding the cup to pour out the blood. And it's not talking about between your skin and the beged. So therefore, there's no problem, not of chatzitza and not of yitur begadim. So according to Rava, he says that the 3x3 is considered to be yitur begadim, even if it's worn on your finger. So that seems to be against what it was that Rabbi Yochanan said, because Rabbi Yochanan said that it's never a problem of yitur begadim if it's not a place that you would be wearing these begadim. So, okay. The thing is that Rava appears not only to be arguing on Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, not Rabbi Yochanan, Vadai Pligam. That's straight out. There's no way to get around that. He's definitely disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan, who says openly a ruling. There's no yitur begadim if it's not a makom begadim. Okay, so Rava can't fit with that. But he seems to be arguing even with Rabbi Yehuda Bar Reda Rabbi Chiya. Because, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Reda Rabbi Chiya said you cannot use a ribbon. You only can use a reed. A ribbon is not 3x3. So apparently, he's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda Bar Reda Rabbi Chiya also. And he's saying that only 3x3 etzba'ot is considered to be a beged. So do we have to say that? Other Rabbi Yehuda Bar Reda Rabbi Chiya, is he arguing with everybody? Is he arguing with him too? Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Because even Rava might be made that if it's something that you are miyached as a dover chashev, it doesn't require shalash al shalash etzbais in order to be considered a beged. And since over here you took this pretty ribbon and that's machshevid, so shiny tzilzul katan de chashev, that might be different. But certainly the case of wearing the reed, so it turns out that we have got three madregas here, according to this, and they're not agreed by everyone. So we've got the gemi. The gemi is just a reed, and it becomes bottled to the wound, and it's not considered to be a chatzitza between the aveda and his hand. Then we've got this little ribbon, which is definitely considered to be a chatzitza, and according to some of the shitas here, possibly Rabbi Yehuda Bar Reda Rabbi Chiya only, possibly even Rava's Meida, would actually be a yitur begadim, because of the fact that you were machshevet as a beged. And then, for sure, we have Rava Shita, that if it's 3x3 etzba'ot, it's not a chatzitza, perhaps, if depending on where it is, but it certainly would be considered to be a yitur begadim, no matter where it is that you put it. This is the first lashon. Lishnach Rina Amrila is a slightly different way in which it was said over, in which Rabbi Yehuda Bar Reda Rabbi Chiya said, Loshanu elagemi, you're only allowed to wear this reed, but you can't put on a tziltzul katan, because that would actually be chotzeitz. Fine, that's so far it's the same, essentially, is what we said before. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said, lo omru chatzitza bepachot mishalash al shalash. Whoa, whoa. In this version, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about over here the din of a chatzitza, and He is saying that if you have a chatzitza which is less than shalosh al shalosh, this means a literal chatzitza, unless it's in a makom where you're wearing begadim. Av shalom b'makom begadim, only 3x3 are considered to be a chatzitza, meaning are considered to be a real chatzitza, and less than that, it's not considered to be a chatzitza, meaning it's nothing. It's not considered to be an extra beged at all. That's the way that Rabbi Yochanan himself puts it, which would be the same as the shita in the previous language of Hainu the Rava Amar of Chista. It was Rav Amar of Chista that said 3x3 is definitely considered to be a chatzitza, meaning an extra beged, and less than that, it's not. So according to this Lashon, it would be the same as Rabbi Yochanan. So does that mean that Rava, who said only shalosh al shalosh, would disagree about the ribbon, and he would hold that a tzilzul katan is actually okay, and you do not necessarily have to be using a reed? And here too, we answered, not necessarily. Shiny tzilzul katan, the chashiv. Maybe that there are only two opinions over here. And actually, Rava would be made that if it's something that you were machshiv, so then it's considered to be a yitur begadim. So the question is, if this is true, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could even wear a tzilzul katan, and it's not going to be a chatzitza, then why didn't the Mishnah say so in Erevin? I mean, the Mishnah's got an opportunity to tell you a big chiddush. You can put on a bandage, even a large bandage, as long as it's not 3x3, it's both. I mean, why didn't it say so? Why did it say that you could only use gimme? Say a tzilzul katan. Ah, that's because remember that there's always a mitzvah to teach as much as possible in terms of information density. Is chayev odom to be teaching derech tzora, it's called, as concisely and therefore as information densely as possible. And therefore the Mishnah wanted to add a very important halacha, two essential new points that are right there in your face, even though it was not necessary to make that the case. And that was a milta agavur chikom ashmalan. So we want to teach an additional point, which is, and actually two points, that the gemi is mase, that there's actual antiseptic utilization over here, which you might think that gemi, it's just something to use as a bandage. No, it's actually a medicated bandage, and it's going to help in the curing. That's the point. So it has antiseptic in it. And once I know that, I know that it should be also to use it on Shabbos. So it's coming also to tell me that ein shvus b'migdash, and you would be allowed even so to use it in the Beis HaMikdash. Wow. Okay, so we got a lot of new issues that we learned out of a simple Mishnah. Boy, Rava, we're talking about over here this idea of not having something between the beged and the actual body of the goyin. Yilbash al bisaro. How literal is that meant? I mean, does it mean a chatzitza specifically? Or does it mean you literally need to be wearing the clothes up against your skin? Let's say that the clothes weren't that tight and there was a wind and the wind lifted up the ketonet, a centimeter off of your skin. It came between your body and the skin. Is that considered to be a psul? Because it's not al besoro? Do we say that it means literally al besoro be'inan, and if that's the case, you're not wearing your begadim? V'haleka, and the avoda would be puzzle. Ol dilma, derech levisha bekach. When the Torah said yilbash, it means to wear things the way people wear things. And people don't wear things wearing them literally tight against their skin. Another question that Rava wanted to know. Suppose there's a louse between a beged and the Kohen's body. Now, the norm in those days was to have a louse somewhere. I mean, it's almost impossible to live without lice until very recently. So is that considered to be a chatzitza? Meta, if it's a dead louse, for sure it's a chatzitza. That is something that is not a norm. It's just something that's between your skin, and you better make sure you don't have something between your skin and the beged. But if there's a living louse, chayamai, do we say that something that walks around on itself and moves around, given the atava asla, So that's just considered to be part of nature. Revitai velo chaitze. You can't call that a chatzitza. It's just the way nature works. Or do we say, kiman de kapit ala? Look, the bottom line is, if that kohen catches that louse, he gets rid of that louse, obviously. So if he's makbid, just like we find the din of chatzitza generally, that chatzitza is a function of hakpada, maybe over here too, the very fact that the kohen is makbid on it means that it will be chotzeitz. And I got another question. How about dirt? Some afar. Would that be chotzeitz? What? What kind of weird question is that, Rava? Obviously, afar vaday chayitz. I mean, person has dirt on him. I mean, he would also be makbid. I mean, but for sure, it's a completely different thing. What's natural about having dirt between your begotim and your skin? Of course, it's chayitzit. No, it means avak afar. Talking about dust. Let's say there's a sandstorm. Some dust got between your beged and your skin. I mean, you can barely see it, but it's there. Is that considered just to be a natural kind of thing because it's blowing in the air? Or do we say it's the same as actual dirt? And another thing that I want to know, if you're telling me that normally you would have to wear the Bigdei Kohuna tight against your skin, well, what happens when your armpit is covered with a... I mean, if you would have it that tight against your arm, you wouldn't be able to move your arms very well, would you? I mean, so maybe even if it needs to be al b'saro tightly, would air between the beged and your underarm, would that be considered to be not al b'saro? If you're going to tell me that literally al b'saro has to be met as a requirement, so then halakha, then that would mean unless the poor kohen is wrapped up over there as stiff as could be inside his big day kahuna, it was going to be possible for the avoda, the halakha, for that for sure, derech levisha bekach, nobody dresses in a way that is that tight, and because of that, it should be kosher, even if you hold that it wouldn't be kosher on the beged as a whole. And then I got another question, says Rava. How about if the kohen puts his hand on his chest between the outside of the ketonet and his chest? Is that considered to be a chatzitza, even though it's his own body, because that's normally not where his hand is? So gufo, mi chayitz or lo? Is his own body considered to be a chatzitza between the beged and the skin of his chest? I have another question. This is already six different questions Rav has asked over here. How about a nima? How about a thread? Is a thread considered to be a chatzitza, just a little thread? Of course, I understand. What are you asking? Nima vadechaitze, we said that before. What's a thread doing there? It's not natural. It's not in any way something that he wouldn't be makbid on. I mean, well, of course it would be a chatzitza, why not? No, the question is, a nima midudelet mahu. What we're talking about over here is a thread that was part of the way that they wove the beged kuhuna. And sometimes there's, as I'm sure you've seen on begotim that you buy even in a store, there's a little bit of a thread that gets caught inside the actual weave of the baguette. So normally you'll take a scissor, you'll cut it off or something. Over here it's a loose thread, but it's actually still wrapped up there in the baguette. Is that considered to be like part of the baguette still? Or does it mean that since it's going to be pulled off ultimately, it's not part of the beged, and therefore it becomes, and it's not completely connected, it's just being held in there, so it would be called a chatzitza. Another question, good heavens, number seven. This is not from Rava, though. Boimar Baravashi, how about if this kohen has got long hair, and it grew long enough that the back of his neck, the hair, was long enough to go between the back of his neck and the baguette? Is hair considered to be part of the body? In which case, it's not considered to be a chatzitza. It's considered to be that levisha. So in other words, assuming that what we just said about the kohen's yad, that's considered to be gufay, and gufay is not chatzitz. So is hair considered to be gufo? Saro kagufo dami, and therefore it's not a chatzitza? Or did we only say that the kohen's hand is not going to be a chatzitza, but hair is not considered to be the guf, and it would be chayitz? Another question. Whew. Boy, Rabbi Zeira, how about tefillin? If you are wearing tefillin, Rashi understands the question over here is, again, the loose use of the word chatzitza. And what it means is, because we're going to see later on that if we're talking about tefillin shel yad, then it would be a real chatzitza between the beged. But Rashi learns that the question of Virmar Sheyachutsu is basically not the same as all of the word Yachutsu until now. And it means over here that, it's an actual beged. So we should see whether it means Yisur Begadim, that this Rashi's approach. The Pashtus of the Sugya, and indeed the other Rishonim learn that the question is, are tefillin considered to be a chatzitza, or do we consider it to be part of the Derech Levisha? So there's two very different approaches to Rebbe Zeira's question, and we'll see that actually we make a distinction between them. So ultimately, he would be questioning whether you're allowed to be wearing your tefillin while you're doing the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. So Ali demandi Omar Laila Lavizman Tefillinu. If you hold, and this is another Gavi ruling, you have to take out your magic wand, Laila Zman Tefillin, or in brackets, Laila Lav Zman Tefillin. So this is a machlokas, and it's a machlokas that we had in Menachas, and fine, we'll be talking about that. But the question is, according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that Laila, you don't wear tefillin at night, so then, look, you can't consider something to be a Derech Levisha if it's not wearable at night, and therefore, there's no question that it's considered to be a chatzitza. Loti bailach, because kiman de laila chaitse, yom nami chaitse. Again, according to Rashi, chaitse meaning it would be an extra beged. Yes, I mean, for sure, it's not considered to be a real beged. Haraya, it's not a beged at night, so then yom nami chaitse. My question is, what about according to Mandi Omar, who holds Laila is the Zman of Tefillin? So then we should say that it's a mitzvah that is part of the chiyuv that he has on his body. And that's the question. Is a mitzvah de gufe, is that considered to be chayitz, according to Tosfos, a chatzitza, according to Rashi, a extra beged, a yitur begadim, or lo chayitze? Anyway, this discussion became like a whole issue and was being sent from different Bati Midrashim. And in the end, the question arrived, Lekami to Rebbe Ami. And Rebbe Ami said, I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe. It's a Talmud Oruchu Biadenu that tefillin are definitely chotzetzot, and they're just like wearing anything else. So we asked on Rebbe Ami, it says beferish that kohanim ba'avodatam, leviyim beduchanam, Yisrael b'ma'amadam, all of these that are people, whether they're going Levi or Yisrael, that are actively involved in taking care of the karbanas. Remember that the pasuk from Tishmeru l'akriv li b'mo'ado, we learn out that you need to have people that are there that are being shemer on the benefit for behalf of Yisrael. So we set up the ma'amadot. Ma'amadot, we had the same number of the ma'amadot as we had the mishmarot of the kuna, and the whole long story in the Gemara where they would come from and how they would come in to stand in the Beis HaMikdash and back in their cities. They would have special minyanim for the ma'amadais, special kriyas ha'terah for my separation, and so on. Not the place to discuss it here. But in any event, since these people are being oisek on some level in the Avedas Beis HaMikdash, they're not mechuyev in tefillah, and they're not mechuyev in tefillin. But, I mean, that's the only issue. They're putter. But, I mean, doesn't say they're usher. My love, apparently, even if the Kohen would be wearing it, it wouldn't be a chatzitza, or, which according to Rashi means a yitur begadim. No, what do you mean? According to what Rabbi said, it would actually be a psul. So then, why does it say they're putterim from the tzitzis? It should say they're asurim in the, from the tefillin. It should say asurim in the tefillin. Oh, it can't say asurim, can it? Because we're talking about not only Kohanim, it says Levim and Yisraelim. I mean, how are you going to say Levim can't wear, Yisraelim can't wear tefillin? We just could say they're potter. But doesn't it say beferish in the Braita, im hinichan, but if they put on tefillin, they're not going to be chotzeitz. And Reb Ami said that they are chotzeitz. Makasha. Reb Ami, this part is talking about that it's a chatzitza, is referring to tefillin of the yad. And here it's talking about tefillin of the Rosh. And of course, there's a big difference. And now it's clear that what we're talking about is a chatzitza literally. And Rashi's going to have to give up on his pshat over here. And so he's got to flip the pshat and say, you can't wear tefillin shel yad because they are going to be worn along your sleeve, essentially. And that means your sleeve is going to be on top of tefillin and it's not going to be on the flesh of your arm. So over there, of course, it's not yilbash al bisaro. Masha'en Kane on the head of the Kohen, it's not a problem, which we'll discuss in a moment, isn't there? What about the Mitznefes? Mashna de Yad, so what's the problem? The problem is because since it says Yilbash al Bisaro, it means it has to be directly on your skin. But isn't it use the same language about your head? It says derosh samta hamitznefet al rosho, which means you can't have something between the mitznefet and the Kohen's head. So if you put on your tefillin shel rosh, you're going to be causing exactly the same problem of the al rosho that the tefillin shel yad would be causing of al bisaro. So I don't understand Reb Ami's answer. It's because you don't know the din in the Braita. Tana, the Braita has Sa'aro Hayanire Ben Sitz Limitznefet. You could see the hair, here it's referring to Kohen Gadol, between the tzitz on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol and the Mitznefet was not worn at the level of the hairline. You could see the hair of the Kohen Gadol. Shasham minichin tefillin. So Dafka the Mitznefes is not put on the part of the head where the tefillin are supposed to be. So if that's...
So you always saw that hair when he wasn't wearing the tefillin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it doesn't cover all of the tefillin, doesn't cover all of his head. But anyway, so you see from there that there was no problem. And Dafka, it was meant to be worn together with the Big Day Kahuna. Next din in the Mishnah is Mechusar Kippurim. How do we know that someone who is Mechusar Kippurim, remember what that is? It's a case of, let's say, a Zov, or a Mitzera, or Yoledes, where even though there already was Tvila, and even though there was already Ha'arev Shemesh, there was still the need to bring the special korban that allows the individual either to eat Min HaKodashim or to be able to do the Avodah. That's called a Mechusar Kippurim, and it said in the Mishnah that a Mechusar Kippurim actually passes the Avodah. Now, we took that for granted until now. We never questioned what the Mokar is. We finally get to the point where we need to see what is that Pasuk. We actually discussed earlier why we need the Pasuk, but we didn't even discuss what the Pasuk is. Omar Avuna, Omar Kra, well, take a look at the case of the Yoledet. Yoledet, it says over there, after she goes to the mikvah, and after Harev Shemesh, it says, V'chiper alea ha-kohen v'tahera. She will only become tohora after the kohen brings a kapora. I mean, does that not tell you that if she's not tohora, that she's tmeah? I mean, it seems to be a binary kind of issue. Either or, either she's tohora or she's tmeah. So if it says that the kohen, after bringing the korban, makes her tohora, so obviously until now she's been tmeah. So if Tehera, Michlal Shi Tmeya up until that point, and that gives her all of the dinim, as we said before, and we had how we know all three, why we need the three, and that's good for what it's coming to tell me, and it might even be that she's more Chamura than someone who was Tovelet and is a Mechusar Harev Shemesh, because over here it's putting her back into the status of the Tuma. So that means, that remember the Shita that we had yesterday, that vis-a-vis the specific things that a Mechusar Kippurim is usher in, obviously for some things, the concept of Mechusar Kippurim doesn't exist. But in terms of the Avodah, in terms of Kachim, it does exist. And within the set of those issues, we had the Mandi Omar who said the words of another famous Gavi idea, which we wasn't able to write down on Yom Kippur, but the idea was, we actually had it before too, which was that a Kippurim dezov is kizov, which was just an example of a Mechusar Kippurim. And it meant that a Mechusar Kippurim in the set of Mechusar Kippurim is exactly the same, at least the way Rashi learned it, is exactly the same as the status was when it was Tamei up front. Okay, now the next thing that we had was Shelo Rachutz Yadayim V'Raglayim. Okay, now we mentioned that before, that Lo Rachutz Yadayim V'Raglayim is one of the words where it says Chuka, and we learned our Gezerah Shava of Chuka from a Chusar Begadim and from a Kohen who was a Shosu Yayin. So we had three things. We had Shosu Yayin, Mechusar Begadim, and Shelo Rachutz Yadayim V'Raglayim, all of which are compared with the Chuka, which tells us that Bizman Shebik Deyam Aleyem, Kunatam Aleyem, or Lahavdil, Ben HaKodesh or Ben HaChol. Okay, so we know that one. And we need to also understand what type of Rochel Shadayim Veraglayim we're talking about. Because just yesterday we watched that Kohen Gadol do his washing his hands so many different times. Is every one of those hand washings, is that possibly Aveda? If he doesn't, let's say he's on the third change between Big Day Lavan and Big Day Zav, and he forgot to do the tefillah from the Kiyor, the rechitza from the Kiyor before his tefillah or after his tefillah, what would be the din over there? So Tanur Rabbanan, a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Shelo Taval v'Shelo Kidesh beBeged leBeged. Before he came into the Beis HaMikdash, he was Tevel, and he went to the Kiyor, and he was Rochutz Yadayim V'Raglayim. Now he's got the special dinim of Yom Kippur, and he is supposed to be doing a Tvila and a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim between every change of clothes. So what would be the din if he doesn't do it between one Beged and the other, between one Aveda and the other? And he went in and he did the Aveda. Avodato kishera, that is not what we're referring to over here when we say that it's going to pasul. And that's why you shouldn't confuse the sugya. Here we're talking about where you went in and did your Aveda. Bein Aveda la'Aveda means between an Aveda that is part of the Avedas Yom HaKippurim, or an Aveda that is part of the Aveda that's done every day. And there's a big difference also in terms of the Begadim there. And that is that the Big Day Lavan were necessary for the Aveda of Yom HaKippurim, and the Big Day Zav were absolutely necessary for the Aveda that would have been done every day. So he's got a lot of changes of clothes to do over here. And the din is that the Aveda is kosher. But whether he's a Kohen Gadol or whether he's any Kohen who did not do his morning Kiddush Yad Avraglav, and he went, not necessarily in Yom Kippur. Obviously, Kohen Edyot doesn't have a door in Yom Kippur, but he went on a regular day and he didn't do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Then Avodat Psula, which we learned out from Chukah. I want to understand exactly the Yom Kippur implications here. We know that he's mechuyev to do Chamesh Tfilot and Asara Kiddushim. Now, the way that we know that din is we actually learn it out of a pasuk. And if that's the case, then they are all d'oraita. And remember that on Yom Kippur, it says, Vaitalachem lechukat olam. This is b'chodesh hashvi'i, b'asor lachodesh. That means that the avodas of Yom HaKippurim are also compared with chukah. And you learned out chukah to be the psul of shelo rochutz yadayim v'raglayim. I want to understand, if that's the case, why are you so sure that the different, 10 different acts of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, how are you so sure that they're not ma'akev? If chukah applies to them, then le'akva, they should be ma'akev. The same way that any Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the morning that wasn't done is always ma'akev because of chukah. Omalei, says Rabbi Yochanan, because it says beferish in the pasuk that k'tonet bat kodesh yobar, mi'chmes ebad yo'ah besaro, v'rachatz ba'mayim et besaro, ulevesham. How come it doesn't repeat over there? It says, it's saying that it's the Levesham that's important, the Levisha. And it's obviously Levesham. What else is he supposed to do? Put them on a stick and wave them around while he's doing the Avodah naked? I mean, so what do I need the word Levesham? To tell me that it's only the Levisha that's Ma'akevet. But Ein Davar Acher Ma'akev, anything else mentioned in this pasuk is not Ma'akev. So Rav Asi, oh, wow. This has been bothering me for years. He actually lit up, right? Savu panav. Oh, what a brilliant answer. Omar Le said, Rabbi Yochanan, before you start dancing, you better realize I've been bowling you around. It's not a good answer. But it's nice to know somebody appreciated it anyway, but I have to come clean. What I really gave you right now was a vav de ksive a'ufta, kasvilach. I just gave you a vav on a log. Can you write a vav on a log? I mean, sort of, but it sort of is a broken up kind of vav, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't come out as very kosher vav. Well, that's the kind of brilliant answer I gave you. Because if what I'm saying is right, so then it would mean, yachi ditzafranami. So then that would be saying, because this Levesham is at the beginning of the whole parsha of Yom Kippur. So then that would mean that even the first time that he comes in, it should also be kosher. And we just said that it's not kosher. So I'll tell you why it's not kosher, says Chizkiya, the first one. That's because Omar Kra, Vahitalem chok olam lo ulezaro ledorotam. The real reason is, why are we making the distinction between the first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that that does possible on Yom Kippur, even though it says Leisham, and the rest. It's because if you take a look at the way that the Torah describes the mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim in HaKiyor, right back in Shmos, where it first explains what the Kiyor is. So it says over there, Vayta Laem Chok Olam Lo Ulezarot. So this is true for Aharon HaKohen and his children throughout all the Dorot. They need to use this Kiyor for Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim. By comparing him, Aharon, with his Dorot in the Zera, it's teaching me a Dovar Ma'akev Bizarro Ma'akev Bo. The Dovar Shein Ma'akev Bizarro in Ma'akev Bo. So because of this Hekesh, the type of Chok that apply to all of the Kohanim, even Kohanim Hediotot, in the utilization of the Kiyor for Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim, yes, that is an Ikuva for Aharon as well. But whatever is irrelevant to his children, and there's never a time that a Kohen has got to worry about changing his clothes and doing a Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim, therefore the Kohen Gadol also does not have to worry about it. So this is Chizkiyah's Pasuk. Rabbi Yonatan says, I got a better Pasuk. It says over there, during the when it's describing it, the Tzav and the Miluim, so it says, V'rochatsu mimenu Moshe v'Aharon uvanav. So, Dovra ma'akev bibanav, ma'akev bo. Dovra she'enu ma'akev bibanav, enu ma'akev bo. It sounds like exactly the same thing. So, I mean, like, what in the world did Rabbi Yonatan have against Chizkiyah's Pasuk, avayta lahem chok olam lo ulezaro, which is the first Pasuk that we find immediately upon describing the Kiyor? Why isn't that a good Pasuk? Why did he have to wait all the way until we start discussing the dinim of Moshe Rabbeinu's being there, and that it needs to be for Moshe and Aaron, and I mean, like, what was wrong with the first pasuk? So Rabbi Yonatan, my time alone, Omar Medechizkia, Omar Lecha, that pasuk that says, Lo Lazar L'Dorotam, that was talking about the mitzvah for future generations, and that's why it was necessary. It wasn't there to be Makish Aaron and his children, it was there to be Makish future generations to the opening generation here in the Midbar. But we still need a pasuk to tell me that there is a Hekesh that only the one type, meaning the first time you come into the Beis HaMikdash in the morning of Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim is Ma'akev. I need for that to learn from here. And so why doesn't Chizkiyah already take the pasuk that Rabbi Yonatan used and avoid that kind of problem that someone would say? Because he says the pasuk that Rabbi Yonatan brought is actually there to teach us a completely different din. If the Kiyor does not have enough water for four different Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayims, it is not a kosher rechitza. You're not supposed to use that because it says specifically, Moshe, Aaron, that's two, and then we have the two surviving children of Nadav Aviu and that are here, that were together with the Aaron, and they all need to be able to do that Kiddush. Tana Rabbanan Ketzad Mitzvat Kiddush. How exactly do we manage to do that Kiddush? It has to be Yodav Viraglov. So what do we do? Well, what we do is we take the hands and the feet, and we're actually Mekadesh them together. So he puts his right hand on his right foot, and he puts his left hand on his left foot, and then you do the Kiddush. So he bends over, turns the Kiyor, opens the Kiyor on hands and feet at the same time. So, okay, that's what it says. Yadav v'raglav. That's one halach. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not good enough. You got to put two hands, one hand on top of the other hand, and you put the two hands on top of 2 feet, 1 foot on top of the other foot, and then you open up the Kiyor. Omrlo, very funny. What is this guy, a circus performer? He flocked up. You're going a little bit too far. Normal person cannot manage that. He's going to keel over. What kind of crazy way is that? It's going to take him like 45 minutes to get into position over here, and then he's going to keel over. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's pretty good. Taina, isn't it? Chapter Kamerle. I mean, how does Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda explain that? Omer Rabbi Yosef, well, you know, you left out two very important words. There's got to be another guy that holds him up. So, Chavero Misayo, any Kohen that is going to be doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim, he's got to have a Kohen there that is going to support him while he does the Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim. So what are they arguing about? I mean, what's wrong with, you want to be Mekayim in the best possible way, Yodav and Raglav, the two hands should be together, the Raglav should be together, should all be done together. What's wrong with having a special Kohen there who supports the Kohanim while they do Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim? Ah, the question is whether Amida Minatzad is considered to be Amida, which is another Gavi point. Every time one is coming up, he manages to disappear. That's not going to help you to disappear. That's what it says. Vitalampa meyam, it says in the post. Well, you think just because you go and you put your hide behind something, that means you're not there. That's what the pasuk says. You can't disappear. It's like a kid puts his fingers in front of his eyes and he thinks that nobody can see him. We still see you, Gavi. And therefore, you should be writing down Amida min Hatzad, and then put into brackets is whether low or whether just Havi Amida. Now, this is very nogea, because the question is, if somebody is supporting himself in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, so he's very tired and he's leaning, that's Amida min Hatzad. Is that considered to actually be Amida? If you need somebody to hold you up, or in certain cases, if you're not able to stand the way you're standing, if you would let go, is that considered to really be Amida or not? So if it's not considered to be Amida, then you're unable to do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. But why? Amalei Rav Samar, Brei Rav Asher Levina, I don't understand. Why are we taking for granted that he's got to be standing up? On the contrary, the issue is solved by having this contortionist sit down. So if he's putting his two hands on each other and those two hands on top of his two feet on each other, if you're sitting, then it's not a problem. You're not going to keel over. Omar Krah, that's because since it says in the Pasuk that he's bevomel omoid yirchatsumayim obigishtam azbech lisharet, it's comparing it to Sherut, and we know that in the Pasuk of Sherut it says, La'amod u'lasharet, and therefore Sherut, by definition, requires Amida, and because of that, we don't want to do it while you're sitting down. That raises the question of whether having somebody else supporting you is also considered to be sitting down or not. Okay, Rabosai, that was wonderful. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Continued Besirot Tovot, Yeshuot, Menachamot, and all of...